الله وبركاته. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. With the possibility of it being the final Jumu'ah before Ramadan, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a sincere dua, that Allah allows us to reach the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. For the past 2 weeks, we have been talking about how to develop khushu' within salah. The first week, we mentioned that it is important to recognize the importance of salah and to recognize our Creator. And last week, we talked about leaving sin as a means of developing khushu' and practical advices on how to soften one's heart. And inshallah, this will conclude the advices. This week, we will conclude the advices on how to develop khushu' within salah. So today's advices on how to develop khushu' in our prayer is firstly to increase our time in private worship. Another means of attaining khushu' in salah is to engage in ibadah, especially in private. Just you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nobody else. You may perform many acts of ibadah, but still not experience its halawa, its sweetness. So we must rectify this by increasing our private worship. Private worship is one of the best ways to attain ikhlas, to attain sincerity, and to protect ourselves from nifaq, hypocrisy. Once our heart is purified, we will, inshallah, taste the sweetness of iman and the sweetness of our worship. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, he says, whoever would like to have peace in his heart and be saved from the agonies of death and the terrors of the day of Qiyamah, then let his private deeds be greater than his public ones. Our inner nafs, our inner self, it rages inside of us. It loves praise and it hates criticism. Sometimes it insidiously manifests itself when we mention our private worship in casual conversation with somebody. MashaAllah, last night when I was praying tahajjud, and within that statement, there is so much ujub and so much pride within that statement. We must, however, fight this. We should avoid mentioning our private acts of worship and maintain it as a special secret between only us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, he said, when the servant performs a deed in private, shaitan keeps bothering him until he mentions it. It then moves from the records of private deeds to the record of public deeds. However, this does not mean that every deed should only be done in private. On the contrary, numerous deeds have to be performed communally and publicly, and therefore in public. Nevertheless, we should strive to have a collection of secret deeds, deeds that nobody knows about except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes you can mention your public deeds to a friend, tahdith bin ni'mah, that alhamdulillah, Allah is giving me the ability to do this deed, because maybe you might be trying to encourage him to do the same. But be careful of ujub. Conducting deeds in private may seem like an act that is free from risk. It is not. And you should be careful of the nafs. Just like you should be worrying about riya, showing off when you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in public, we should be wary of ujub, admiring your own self when we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private. Ujub is to be impressed with yourself and your own features. MashaAllah, look how much tahajjud I read. Look when I raise my hands up to the sky for dua, how many tears I shed. You start admiring your own self. Ujub can lead to pride. It can lead to kibr. This pride can lead you to comparing your actions to others and start regarding your own deeds to be better than theirs. You may, as a result, start looking down upon them. And consequently, instead of purifying your soul, your private deeds, it led to the destruction of your soul. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever amongst you is able to have hidden good deeds, then let him do so." So we are encouraged, my beloved brothers, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first of all give me the ability to do this and everybody here. The second advice for today is to persistently ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for khushu within our prayer and never give up trying to attain it. We must turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, with humility and beg Him to grant us the ability to perform our salah with great concentration, with great admiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and with khushu and khudu'. We must have certainty in our heart that He will be able to respond. As He so promised, "When my servant asks you about me, truly I am near. I answer the call of the caller when he calls on me. So then let them respond to me and believe in me so that they may be guided." You must make dua all the time for khushu. And you can make dua in your own language and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you with khushu. Alternatively, you may wish to memorize the following dua of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and ask through the zuban and the words and the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which dua would he make? Allahumma aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ilmin la yanfa' wa min qalbin la yakhsha wa min nafsin la tashba' wa min da'watin la yustajabu laha. O Allah, grant my soul taqwa, piety and mindfulness, and purify it, for you are the best of those who purify, and you are its protector and master. O Allah, I seek your protection from knowledge which does not benefit, and ya Allah, I seek from you your protection from a heart which does not submit to you. And I seek your protection from having a soul which is not satisfied. And I seek your protection from a dua, a supplication which is not accepted. Another dua that we can make is, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min salatin la tanfa'. O Allah, I seek your protection from such a salah which does not benefit me. Another dua that we can make, رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي لَكَ شَكَّارًا لَكَ ذَكَّارًا لَكَ رَهَّابًا لَكَ مِطْوِعًا إِلَيْكَ مُخْبِتًا أَوَّاهًا مُنِيبًا. My Lord, make me one who is extremely grateful to you, who remembers you always, who perpetually fears you, and who is fully obedient to you, who is humble before you, and who constantly cries and pleads with you, and who frequently turns to you in repentance. And the final dua that we can make, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. One that we always make after our farad prayers. O Allah, help me in remembering you, And help me in being grateful to you, and help me in worshipping you in an excellent manner. My beloved brothers, the best type of dua that we can make are those du'as from the sunnah, from the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If we can, we should do our best to memorize them. Have them written down so that you can read them. And if you struggle with those, then at least make dua in your own language. Never give up. Making the human lose hope is one of Shaitan's most powerful tricks. You might think, this khushu thing is not for me. I've tried it, but I keep getting distracted. Do not give in to this trick and continue to try. On some days your level of khushu will feel very strong, and whilst on other days you might not even feel it at all. Despite all of this, continue to work on it and never give up. My beloved brothers, we are not creatures of emotion when it comes to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 5 times a day it is farad upon us to pray, whether our nafs wants to or whether it doesn't want to. On some days you might feel like, mashallah, I'm going to pray my fajr today, I'm going to pray my dhuhr today, I'm going to pray asr, maghrib, isha, I'm going to pray all the sunnah, and I'm going to pray all my nawafil, I'm going to pray it all. On some days you might not want to. But the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes above our emotion. Whether we are feeling it or not, you put your emotion to one side and you put the hukum of Allah on top of your emotion. And you follow that. You are obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are not servants of your own nafs. You are not servants of how you are feeling. I'm too lazy to pray right now. You put the laziness to one side and you perform your salah. You perform the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not servants of our emotions. Thabit al-Bunani rahimahullah, he says, I struggled with salah for 20 years. After 20 years, I started experiencing khushu. Abu Zayd rahimahullah, he says, I forced my nafs, my inner self, to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst it was crying. It did not want to. But then until I was able to take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst it was in a state of pleasure and it was laughing. So we must strive for a balance, my beloved brothers. Achieving a balance is not always easy. Try to strike a balance between pushing yourself and overdoing it. We must push ourselves to fight our nafs to pray salah, the obligatory salah, working on both the quality and quantity of our salah. But at the same time, do not burden yourself with it so much that you find it challenging to maintain. For instance, you may attend an iman-boosting lecture, or you might hear an iman-boosting audio and therefore decide to get up an hour before Fajr to pray tahajjud the first day, the first couple of days, maybe even the first week. MashaAllah will pass smoothly. But by the second week, you might start feeling like it is too much and you do not feel like waking up at all even more, not even for 5 minutes. Rather than immersing yourself so much in the very beginning, build yourself up gradually over time. Try to be consistent, as consistency is the key. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the best deeds in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those which are constant, even if they are few and even if they are small. Regularly you wake up 5 minutes before the beginning time of Fajr and you pray your tahajjud prayer. You make it a regular habit. This is better than waking up one day in the year and praying 8 rakats and 12 rakats. Accordingly, do not take an all or nothing approach. If your inner voice is saying, either I'm going to pray all of my voluntary prayers or none of them at all, it's all or nothing, then remember, when it comes to ibadah, even a little is better than nothing at all. Indeed, Umar radiallahu anhu, he would say, indeed these hearts have its good qualities and it has its flaws. You know, al-Iman, yazid wa yanqus. Some days is very, very good. Some days it's on a very spiritual high. You're experiencing an ecstasy in worship. And some days, wa yanqus. Some days, you're doubting yourself. Some days, you're thinking, I'm trying so hard, the help of Allah is not coming. You're thinking all of these doubtful things in your mind. Some days your iman is so high, some days it's so low. My beloved brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some days He opens the doors of iman for us. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْبِضُ وَيَبْسُطُ. Some days you will experience qabd, which is your spiritual lock. A spiritual lock where you don't feel any progression at all. Allah is stopping that spiritual growth for some reason. It might be for your betterment. It might be because He wants you to strive a little bit more. It might be because of a sin that we're doing. And some days it's bust. Some days it's open. Some days we feel like we can do so much. You know, when it comes to sadaqah, I can give everything today. When it comes to salah, I can pray everything today. When it comes to family, I can be so patient with them today. Because you're experiencing bust. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, these hearts, they have its ebbs and flaws. So when you are experiencing bust and you're experiencing it soaring, then impose on your nafs the voluntary acts. All the things that are nafil, all the things that are mustahab, do all of them. Because you're able to do it. But then on the days when you're experiencing a downturn, when you're experiencing qabd, that door is closed for you, you're finding it difficult, then impose on your nafs the obligatory actions. Do all of your fara'id in that state. Such beautiful advice of Umar radiallahu anhu. And the last and final advice for today, my beloved brothers, is act upon the etiquettes of going to the masjid. The etiquettes of going to the masjid in developing khushu is very important. The etiquettes of attending the masjid are a crucial preparation for salah. Adhering to these is indicative of the respect and the esteem you accord into salah in your heart. So you know that you're going to the masjid because you are going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have an extreme amount of love for that place. This will also prepare you psychologically for standing in front of the Supreme Creator. So firstly, we will perform our wudu thoroughly in accordance to the sunnah at home. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no man purifies himself and does it thoroughly, then goes to the masjid, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala records a good deed for him for every step he takes. He raises him a degree for it, and He wipes away a sin from him. My beloved brothers, if we have the ability, we perform our wudu at home so that every step of the way when we are coming to the masjid, we're getting reward for it. The masjid has facilities for wudu in case of an emergency. You know, in case you break your wudu and you need to redo your wudu. But ultimately, we should be trying our best to come to the masjid with wudu. The second is to avoid smelling bad. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, whoever has eaten garlic, onion or leek, he should stay away from the masajid. For indeed the angels are troubled by what the children of Adam are troubled by. You know, especially with Ramadan coming around the corner, and mashallah, we have these spicy masala things that during iftar and everything, mashallah, and you come for salah, and then you burp. Ask the person next to you, does he like that smell or does he not like it? Of course he does it. It pisses them off. He might not want to stand next to you in salah again. But mashallah, if you're smelling pleasant and you're smelling fresh, you know, he won't mind standing next to you in salah. Just how people are inconvenienced with bad smell, the angels are also inconvenienced with bad smell. So remember these etiquettes when coming to the masjid. Next, we should try and beautify ourselves before coming to the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O children of Adam, beautify yourselves at every masjid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, Allah is beautiful and He loves beauty. Apply perfume to the men and wear clean and appropriate clothing to the masjid. Why do we say women should not wear perfume? It attracts the attention of men. The second thing, the other advice is say the dua for leaving the house and the dua for walking to the masjid. So we must learn these duas. We must walk with calmness and serenity. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear the iqama, walk to the prayer with calmness and dignity and do not hurry. Pray whatever you are able to pray and complete whatever you miss. This is, of course, if you hear the adhan and you live so close. For us, we need to leave 10, 15, 20 minutes before the salah to reach here on time. And, my beloved brothers, just remember, if the salah is going on and you have arrived late, do not start running from the main door to try and join the rakat. You will disturb absolutely everybody in the masjid. You're thinking, I need to get that rakat, I cannot miss it. No, you walk calmly to the sufuf. You might miss a rakat, you might. So if you do, make up for it afterwards. Do not disturb the salah of everybody else. Another advice when you're coming to the masjid is enter the masjid with your right foot and read the dua. Mainly the masjid, this prayer hall. You can read it at the entrance as well, downstairs. But also here, when you come into the main prayer hall, enter with the right foot and recite the dua for entering the masjid. When you come in, if there is some time before the Farad prayer is about to start, then perform Tahiyyatul Masjid. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when one of you enters the masjid, he should not sit down until he has prayed two rakats. Of course, if the Farad Jamaat is going on, leave those Tahiyyatul Masjid, two rakats nafil. Leave it. Join the Farad prayer. Then try and go early to the masjid so that you can sit in the front row and preferably sit beside and close to the imam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if the people knew what is the reward of announcing the call for prayer, meaning doing the adhan, and for being in the first row in the congregation, then they would find no other way to get this privilege except by casting lots. They would certainly cast lots for it. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam also said, indeed Allah and his angels send blessings on the right side of the rows. Another thing that we should bear in mind when coming to the masjid is make the intention to wait for salah. Just another point here on the adhan is we must learn the adhan. Adhan is arkan from Islam. It is a very, very big, important part of Islam. You know, if our adhan is not correct, then we must do our best to rectify it. Sit with a imam, sit with a qari. Say, can you listen to my adhan? Listen to the words of my adhan. Am I saying the words correctly? Am I pausing in the correct places? Am I doing my iqama correctly? We must learn these things, my beloved brothers. We must go out of our way and learn these things. Especially with Ramadan coming up, we must be in preparing ourselves for all of the five times salah that we're going to do. Of course, we also want to perfect our adhan as well. We must make intention to wait for salah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the servant is constantly in prayer so long as he is in his place of worship waiting for the prayer. The angels say, O Allah, pardon him. O Allah, have mercy upon him. And last but not least, when we exit the masjid, exit with your left foot and recite the dua. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu used to say, he used to enter with his right foot first and he would exit the masjid with his left foot. My beloved brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us each the ability to bring these advices into our daily life so that we can, inshallah, develop khushu. And I will end here just with a few practical advices, inshallah. It will not take too long. How to eliminate distractions from our salah. Firstly, find a quiet place to pray. Avoid praying where others are talking or where there is a noise that is likely to distract you. Second advice would be mentally go offline for your salah by ensuring your phone is on silent mode. Avoid checking your phone between the farad and the sunnah prayers. Leave the distractions of the world. If you have a small child, where possible, ask somebody to look after them whilst you perform your prayer. Or if there is a separate room for them, ask them there. Or train them at home to stand with you so that when you are praying, they do not run off and cause a havoc in the prayer. Avoid performing your salah whilst you have urgent matters waiting. For instance, if you are cooking, then turn off the cooker for the duration of the salah to stop you worrying about it during salah. This mainly advises for the women. Pray where you are comfortable. Avoid praying where it is too cold or too hot, because this might take your focus away from salah. You're just thinking, I cannot wait until I open the window or I turn on the fan. Pray in clothes which are not distracting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once returned a garment to a person that had gifted it to him, which had patterns on it, to one of his companions radiallahu anhu, because during his salah it distracted him away from focusing. Ensure that you are not surrounded by distracting objects. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told his wife Aisha radiallahu anha to remove a certain curtain which was in the house because it had pictures on it. that it had diverted his attention away in salah. You know, many of us, when we are performing our salah, we like to look at the design on the carpet. MashaAllah, this masjid has such a beautiful design on the carpet. Look how it's weaved and look how it is. We like to do all of those things. Our attention gets drifted away so easily. Alhamdulillah, here, the carpet is very plain, so you do not need to worry about that. And last but not least, pray towards behind a sutra, a barrier or a wall in front of you. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when one of you prays behind a sutra, he should stay close to it and not let shaitan interrupt his salah. The wisdom behind using a sutra is to prevent your eyes glancing further than the sutra. Therefore, beyond your place of prayer, it also stops people from passing in front of you and stops shaitan from passing by and ruining your prayer. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us each and every single one of the ability to also learn the fiqh of salah. What invalidates our prayer, what does not invalidate our prayer, this is also very, very necessary. My beloved brothers, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us each and every single one the ability to start our journey in developing khushu'. With Ramadan coming up and with us performing our daily prayers, it's important to take benefit from our prayer. That's why the past 3 weeks we've been giving advices on how to develop khushu' within our salah. May Allah grant us all the ability to experience salah with halawa, with khushu' and with khudu. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it from each and every single one of us. And may Allah allow each and every single one of us to reach the holy and blessed month of Ramadan. Ameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله